Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is awesome. Amen. Father, we love you, Lord, this morning. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are awesome in every way. You are awesome in our lives. You are awesome even in your handiworks. Look at the universe, Lord, and it's just awesome. To behold, it's breathtaking, the things that you have done. And we want to appreciate you and give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together one more time again. The Lord is awesome. Amen. I think we can do a better job than that. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I have something that I want to share with you this morning that I believe is going to bless your heart. But before I do that, I want to give a shout to the Lord. You know, there's something, you know, that I'm celebrating today. And it's not my birthday, you know. So, you know, some people, I think my family, they may think I'm celebrating the birthday. No. But I am celebrating today 45 years of ministry. Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. That's right. Yes, the Lord is good. See, he called me when I was only 20. I had to tell you how old I am today. Called me when I was only 20. See, and I remember, you know, I was thinking about it this week. And I was just thinking about, you know, going down memory lane. And remember that first time, you know, I remember that I preached my first, very first crusade when I was just 20 years old. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, if that's not awesome to you, well, that is awesome to me. Amen. I remember when I was a young man, you young folks, listen to me. When I was a young man, some people said it was youthful exuberance that it was going to wear away. Well, I am still here. Amen. And it wasn't any youthful exuberance. And we are still here celebrating the goodness of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Lord for that. And I'm going to share something with us today. You know, I've kind of shared. I wanted to do something different this morning. But as I was thinking about it, you know, I thought, well, I'll just share this one here. And, you know, I know I've shared it with my family and so on. But today, I think I'll just share it with everybody. You know, I think you'll get a great blessing from it if you pay attention to what the Lord has to give to us today. And I believe that God wants to bless every one of us. Can you say amen? You know, he has a blessing for us. But, you know, you've got to follow his ways and follow some of the things, you know, the ways and the guidelines that he gives in the scriptures in order for you to reap a real blessing. So today I'm going to be talking about, for just a few minutes, I'm going to bring some biblical principles of assured success and long life. Amen? I'm going to bring some biblical principles of assured success and long life. And if you pay attention, it's going to really bless you. Now, let me say this before I start. If you're trying to get somewhere and you don't know where you are going, you're not going to get there. Is that a true statement? And if you knew what you were going, but you didn't know how to get there, you may likely miss the way. Now, if you miss the way, see, because this has happened to me once before. And I traveled somewhere, you know, in the 90s. I used to do consulting and traveling all over the place. I left my car at the airport, came to Phoenix, and then got back. And I picked up my car, and it was dark that night. And I was going back to the place where I stayed. And I was a fork in the road. You go this way or you go that way. And I missed the turn. I went this way. I knew that I missed it as soon as I went that way. And I was hoping that, well, I said, well, you know, I'll just turn around, you know, in a mile or so or two. You know, here in Phoenix, you miss the turn on the freeway. You go about a mile or two, you find another way that you can get around. Well, it wasn't the case when I was back there on the East Coast. This was, I believe, in, Pennsylvania. And I went for 30 miles before I could find a place to turn back. They had this big cement thing in the middle. You couldn't even cross over, even if you wanted to. And I had to drive, you know, and it was a bit scary because you know, my gasoline was showing already in the danger zone that I was going to run out of gas, and I didn't know where I was headed. You know, I knew I had to turn back because I realized I missed the turn. You know, and then, you know, I got as far as I could to some toll gate, and then I had to turn back. Now, sometimes we are on the wrong path. You may have to turn back. Now, some people don't know how to turn back. See, if you miss the road and you just keep on going and hoping that magically the road will still get to where you're going, you might be making a big mistake. Sometimes you got to turn back. And if you don't know the way, maybe you got to turn back to the place where you missed the road and then take the correct turn. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what I did that night. I had to go all the way back to the point where I missed the road and then take the correct turn. Well, you know, some of us, the blessing of the Lord is already on our lives. Amen. But we're not really getting there because we're not following the principles. And it's like you missed the turn. You missed the way. So I am going to lay it down here, you know, and those who have heard this before, I want you to listen to it because I spent a lot of time praying about it this time around. I didn't just write it and send it to you. I spent time praying about it so that God may inscribe it in your heart and help you to learn what he has to say to us here. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking about biblical principles of assured success and long life. And I will read about 10 of these principles for you. And we're just going to walk through them. The first one, of course, is this, and I will give scriptures. It will serve you well if you write these things down. You know, like the Bereans, write them down and then go check it out later on to see if these things are so. But they are so, because they are in the Word of God. Now, write it down. The first thing is in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. The same thing is referred to in Ephesians chapter 6. And you can read verses 1 to 3. The principle there is this. Honor your father and your mother. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that's the first commandment with promise. You will see when he talked about it in the book of Ephesians, he talked about it being the first commandment with promise. Now, he gave them 10 commandments. I'm giving 10 principles here today, you know. But we know that when he gave those 10 commandments, this was the first one I gave. All the other ones, he just said it, you know, you do this or you don't do that or whatever. But he didn't give a promise. But this one, he gave a promise to it. Honor your father and your mother. Some of us, right now, you know, my parents are no longer living. They're gone. You know, so I can't do this part anymore. But those of you who still have parents, you can still do it. But I guarantee you, when my parents were alive, I did exactly this. Praise the Lord. That's right. I honored my parents. And part of the blessing that's in my life today is still because of that. So that's one of the first, very first principles. And I don't care how old you get, you will never outlive this commandment. Amen? You can't say, well, I'm now 18, or I'm now 20, or I'm now whatever age. As long as your father and mother are living, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth you. Amen. Now, the second thing is this. I'm going to try to go through this quickly so I won't keep you long. The second thing is this. Put the things of God as priority in your life. Amen. Are you with me? It's too quiet in here this morning. Put the things of God as priority in your life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He says, what does it say? But seek ye first, somebody say it with me, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall. Now, that is shall be added unto you. Now, these are some irrevocable promises of God. But they are also precepts. To every promise, there's usually a premise. These are the premises. You must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Never put, a sister was out here today when she was leading prayers, and she was saying that she learned never to put her own personal needs or whatever ahead of the things of God. Never put your job. You know, some people don't come to church, you know, because of job and this and that. Well, I know that some people have to work and all that. We understand that. But every chance you get, put the things of God ahead of all these other things. Amen. Amen. Now, some of it may be bitter truth, but it is the truth. Now, never put your job, your family, or anything above of God. So that's one commandment. And remember, it says that all these things, you know, it said the Gentiles are looking for what are we going to wear, what are we going to eat, how am I going to pay my bills, and so forth. That's the discussion that Jesus was having there. He said, but look, if you put the things of God first, all these things shall be added. How are you going to pay your bills? Well, you know, just put the things of God first. Hallelujah. Yeah, God will give you wisdom. God will give you understanding of how to do those things. And you will pay your bills. You will never lack. Praise ye the Lord. Now, number three. Keep God's word in meditation always in your heart. Always meditate upon the word of God. And think upon his word. There's a direct correlation between that and certain blessings. Now, let's read it first. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And then also we're going to read it in the book of Psalms. First of all, let's read Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. If they put it up quickly for me in the back, it will help me to move quicker. Joshua 1 chapter 8. Otherwise, I have to flip through the scriptures here. Is anybody in the back? Are they there? All right. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. I want it in King James, please. I don't like this version. King James Version. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's a direct correlation between success and prosperity, you know, to what God is saying here. Keep his word in your heart. Meditate upon it day and night. Observe to do everything that is written in this book. He said, then you don't need to pray for prosperity. You know, some people like to preach prosperity. Well, I'm preaching prosperity today, but this is how you preach it. First, you do what God's word says, and then let God take care of business. Amen. I'm not talking about any, I'm not taking up an offering today, you know, because some people think when you preach prosperity, they ask people to bring money. Don't keep your money. Do the things of God that I'm saying here today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so it's not about that at all, you know, and there is no get rich quick program. You know, anybody that tells you, you know, you bring $1,000 and tomorrow you get 10,000. Well, you better keep that $1,000. Amen. Because you may not get that 10,000. That's not how it works with God. There is a grinding process. There is a process where you stay with the word of God all year long, all year round. It's not today you put some money in the basket and then tomorrow you reap. That's not what we're talking about here. Thou shalt observe to do according to all that is written in this book of the law. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and you shall have good success. Amen. Now, so that's a wonderful principle. Now, number four. Be diligent. See, whatever your hand finds to do, be diligent in it. It's also a principle to that. Be diligent in your job, your work, or business, and God is going to promote you. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, some of you may not know that's in the Bible, but I remember as a young man, I loved this scripture. I used to quote it to myself all the time. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. He says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, and he shall not stand before mean men. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Diligent. You know, we are told in the book of Colossians, you know, chapter 3, he says, whatsoever your hand finds doing, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You know, so that is something that most people don't understand. You know, when you are working, business, or whatever you are doing, you must do it diligently as unto the Lord. Amen. That's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. And God is not going to hold back your reward if you are keeping his word and doing as he says here. So when you are working, if you are in business, you know, whatever you're doing, you're working for your employers or whatever, do it diligently and God is going to promote you. Praise the Lord. Now, this one here is going to be a challenging one. You know, and I will give you a scripture for it. God challenges us to handle other people's money with diligence as though it is yours. You know, don't say it doesn't matter because somebody else is the one that's spending the money or somebody else is paying. That's not going to get you anywhere. You know, you need to handle other people's business or other people's money exactly as though it was yours. This will determine how God is going to commit true riches into your hands. Now, let's find the scripture for that. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, help me put that up. Luke chapter 16, verses 11 to 12. You know, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, you know, God puts a little money into your hand, maybe you're working for somebody else, you know, who shall commit to your trust the true riches? And I'm going to tell you something else too here. You know, if God gives you a little something and you're not faithful in it, how is he going to give you even more? I just don't know. You know, so the way that you are going to get more is when you are faithful in that which is small. Amen. If you are faithful in the little, he that is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. Now, verse 12. Put on the next verse for that. Luke 16 and verse 12. And if you have not been faithful, listen to this, folks. In fact, I want everybody to read with me. Can you read it with me? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give to you that which is your own? See, this is a principle in the Bible which many people don't know. If you're walking, you know, you say, well, it's not my father's business. Well, it is your father's business because your father is the Lord. Amen. So where you are, you do the business diligently as if it is yours. You know, if you are not faithful in that which is somebody else, see, how are you going to get the real one that belongs to you? This is an important principle. What this means is this. The corollary to that is this. Let's turn that around. It means when you are faithful in that which is another man's, where you find yourself today, you are setting up yourself for that which is your own. Amen. That's when God is really going to bless you, when you have been faithful in that which is another. There are many, many principles in the Bible. You know, Jacob and Isaac, they worked for somebody else for 7 years, 14 years, and all these other things and so on, you know. And then finally, incredible riches, you know, God just brought unto them and so on, you know, because they were faithful. Joseph was faithful and so forth, you know, faithful. He, you know, even when he was in prison, even when he was in the house of Potiphar, you know, they put everything in his hands, you know, and he was just faithful. He was faithful in everything. The next thing, you know, well, we know the story. There was a lot to that story, but, you know, one day he became prime minister of the land. Praise the Lord. Now, so that's an important principle that you should bear in mind. Now, let's move on. Now, so that is number 5. Number 6, don't be tight-fisted, but give cheerfully, and you will always have abundance. Amen? Amen, somebody. Amen. I'm not talking about, when people say give, you know, some people think that we're only talking about when you come into the church and you put the money in the basket. You know, that's not it at all. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's what Jesus said. Now, look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Now, some preachers like to preach this with respect to when people bring money into the basket. But that's not what I'm saying here. I am saying that this should be your way of life. Amen.
Give,
and it shall be given unto you. When God wants to give to you, it's, you know, good measure. Now, everybody likes good measure. If you like good measure, say good measure. Oh, I like good measure. Press down, shaking together, and then running over. You know, God doesn't just do barely enough. He always does running over. Amen. My cup runneth over. He anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. God's stuff is running over. He doesn't do barely enough. God can give you, you know, but, and he said, but look, in order for you to have the good measure, the press down, you know, everybody likes good measure, press down, shaking together and running over and so forth. Men will give into your bosom. But listen to the last part of it. For with the same measure. See, that's the secret, folks. If you measure a little and you want to get abundance, that's not how it works. But if you give abundantly, then God is going to make sure that you always have pressed down, shaking together, running over, will men give unto your bosom. Can you say amen to that? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, let's take a quick look at verses 24 and 25. You know, don't be tight-fisted. You see, don't be tight-fisted. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. But there is that withholdeth more than his meat, and yet it tended to poverty. There are some people that just give and give, and they always have abundance. But there are some people that hold on to everything, and it tends to poverty. Hello, folks. So you young folks, you listen to me. These are principles that will guide you through your life. If you hold on to more than is necessary, it will tend to poverty. But if you give with wisdom, of course, you know, you give with wisdom and so forth like that. You know, there's some people that scatter it, but yet they have abundance, you know. And they said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Amen. Hallelujah. And he that watereth shall himself be watered. Amen. Now, I'm going to come back and tell you a little something about that in a minute. But let me go through this. If I have time, I'll come back to that. You know, so this is a principle of blessing. You know, you give, and then God will make sure that, you know, you always have people giving to you as well. You know, and you don't give just because you want people to give to you. You just give. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord's going to repay you, and so forth. You know, remember, it's not only for you to give to those that are going to give you back. That's not the way of the Lord. The Lord corrected that. He said, don't always give only to your friends that will give you back. Because if you do, you have your own reward already. See, you can't get a reward twice. But when you give to somebody who cannot give you back, then God is going to give to you. Amen. Remember, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 2, he said, don't even forget to entertain strangers. Because sometimes some people have entertained, you know, angels unawares. You know, you see somebody that is a stranger and so forth, and you don't care about them because you don't know them. Well, that's a big mistake. You know, use wisdom. Let the Lord guide you and so forth like that. But remember the poor. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. If you lend, if you give to the Lord, I mean, if you give to the poor, you are lending unto the Lord, and the Lord is going to remember you when it counts. Amen. When it counts the most, he will remember you. Now, number 7. When God, this is something I want to talk about. This is a principle that I want to, listen to this. It's number 7 on my list. I have 3 more or 4 more to go. When God gives you abundance in a time of plenty, what should you do? God wants you to save the excess. Not go on a spending spree. See, this is the reason why a lot of people get into problems. You see a lot of wonderful people, you know, when we're doing the homeless people ministry and so forth, we see a lot of people and so forth. I mean, they lost everything. Because when God blessed them, they just squandered everything away. And one day they lost it. And they forgot that God already blessed them. You know, and God already, this, you know, you have to read the stories, the chapters of Genesis 39, clear on through the end, talk about how God brought it out in the life of Joseph. When there was abundance, remember the dream of Pharaoh, the fat cows and the lean cows, the fat ears of the corn and the lean ears of the corn. When there was abundance in the land, what did the wisdom of God, word of wisdom, what did he come to Joseph to do? Was to gather up all the excess and save it for the rainy day. Amen. But some people, the moment they get a raise, they go squander everything. Now, see, let me tell you something. There is no reason for God to give you excess. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. There's no reason. We know he does abundance and he does run over. But there's really no reason for him to give you excess other than he's already looking ahead. See, if you have more than enough, you know, and you don't lack, and God is giving you excess, why is he doing it? You know, because one day, there may not be enough, but God already provided for it. But if you didn't use wisdom and you squandered it, you know, then all of a sudden, you say, Lord, help me. And say, yeah, I already did. Praise the Lord. He already gave it to you, but you squandered it. You know, now, there are many of these principles here that many of us are not following, but the mercies of God, you see, either the mercies of God or prayers of your parents or whatever, just holding you on. You know, but if you follow these principles that I'm laying out for you today, it shall be always well with you. Amen. The Bible talks about your breadbasket and your storehouse. So show that thou have plenty for your breadbasket and your storehouse. Breadbasket is right now, what you are going to eat now. Storehouse is later. See, God will give you abundance for your breadbasket, which is now, and your storehouse, which is later. Praise the Lord. You know, but when he gives you abundance, you know, that's when you should save. You know, here's the principle I always follow. You know, and those that are closest to me, my family, they know it. You know, when I get more, the more I get, the less I spend. That's right. You know, and you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it does to me. And that's the reason why God has blessed me, and I've never lacked a thing. Because God always provides ahead of time, you know. And by the grace of God, you know, when he gives you more, you know, when it is time for you that you don't have enough, you know, you already had plenty. It's these principles are in the Bible. The story of Joseph demonstrates that. So remember that. Now, that's Genesis chapter 41, verses 29 to 36. That's a story where Joseph gathered up all the plenty. He said, there shall be 7 years of plenty throughout the land of Egypt. And he gathered it up. And say, after that, there's going to be years of, you know, famine and penury and everything. And the years of plenty will be forgotten. But Joseph saved the whole world by the wisdom of God that was upon him that time. Because he knew this principle. And if you learn this principle, the things that are in the Bible are for examples. If you learn these principles, it shall be well with you. Amen. Now, this is a good one. Principle number 8. Now, these principles, I just wrote them like that. It's not that they are in any order of importance. You know, remember, it is the Lord thy God that teaches you to profit. Amen. And he gives you the power to get wealth. You must remember that. Never forget that. You know, when you are doing well, never forget that. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I want you to take these scriptures down. I see that some of you are not writing anything down. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18. He said, remember, see, the Lord thy God. For it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish the covenant which he swore unto your fathers as it is this day. It is the Lord that gives you power to get wealth. And when it is coming, always remember that it's the Lord. Now, Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17, he says, it is the Lord, he said, thus said the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God that teaches you how to profit and lead you by the way. So you must completely depend upon the Lord. Some of you are struggling, you know, because you're not following these principles. But I believe if you make the right, you know, if you make a turnaround today and go on the correct path, you know, you are going to head to where you're supposed to be. Amen. But if you stubbornly keep on doing that which is wrong and hoping for a different result, you're not going to get a different result. Do the same wrong thing all the time, you're going to get the same wrong result. If you want a different result, you need to go back to the place where you missed the road, take the correct turn, and then head to where you should be going. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's another wonderful principle. Now, principle number 9. Do not set your affection on riches. Don't set your affection on riches. You know, I mean, some people just can't, I mean, they're so consumed We're trying to get rich and trying to get wealth. Don't set your affection on those things. Set your affection on the Lord. Amen. Psalm 62 and verse 10. Put it up for me, please. Psalm 62 and verse 10. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, do what? Do not set your heart upon them, because one day they may fly away, you know. Don't set your heart upon them. Many years ago, when we were in the old building, some lady came to church, and talking to her and so forth. I mean, she was down to almost nothing. And she told me how she had been a millionaire and everything. I'm like, what? You know, and she said some other things which I couldn't get into right now. You know, but some things set in, some pride and some other things and so forth. You know, remember, pride goes before what? A fall. And a haughty spirit before destruction. You know, so when God is blessing you, don't set your affection on those things. Those things mean nothing. Praise the Lord. Keep your affection on the Lord. You know, and you know, God wants to bless his people. You know, in the olden days, some people used to think that Christians have to be poor. Where is that in the Bible? There's no such thing. You know, Abraham was loaded with riches. All the people of God were loaded. Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, all these people, they were loaded. You know, they were not poor. And in fact, Jesus himself said, all that is in heaven and in earth belong to me. That's Jesus. He said that. Praise the Lord. So Jesus got everything. And he said, all that my Father has, you know, is mine, he said. And he gave it right back to us. You know, he said, look, you know, if you will endure, you know, blessed are those that overcome, because they shall inherit all things. And I will make them to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. He wants to give us everything, you know, and he already said it. And God has given unto us all things richly to enjoy and all that stuff. So, but don't set your affections on it. Praise the Lord. Set your affections on the Lord. Now, number 10 principle, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. And I want to say a little something about this, you know, because some people give to the Lord, but they like to give to the Lord, you know, from leftovers. You know, that's not going to work. You know, so listen to this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits, not last fruits, not after the IRS has taken, your 401k has taken, your savings self plan has taken, whatever else has taken, you have paid all your bills and so on, and everything that is left, then you look at it and say, well, let me give God 10% of what's left. That's nonsense. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. And if you can do that, you will never lack. Hallelujah. So if you want to give, some of you believe in tithing, and I think you should. I do it myself, but I don't give tithes. I give a lot more by the grace of God. You know, tithe is small. Well, you can start with tithing, but when God starts blessing you, find out that tithing is really small. You know, but if you want to give tithe, and you give tithe at the bottom, you are actually robbing God. Amen. You know, I know that's hard, you know, but that's the truth. You should give God on the top. In other words, if you're going to tithe, you know, give God the first fruits of your increase, you know, not the last fruits. So you give on your gross, not on your net. You know, you heard it from me today. You give on your gross, not on your net. Don't give it to me. I don't, you know, I'm not asking for anybody's money. I'm asking you, you know, what you are doing, you know, and so forth like that. You know, I believe in my heart that tithing issue is good, and but it's by revelation, not by commandment. You know, it's by revelation. Because the first person to give tithes in the Bible was Abraham. He gave tithes to Melchizedek. There was no law when he did it. And the law that came 450 years later, you know, that tell them to, you know, pay tithes and so forth, that was later. But the first man that did it, he did it by revelation. And I believe it's still by revelation until today. But if your revelation is wrong and you say, well, I don't have to do it, well, then, you know, maybe you are tight-fisted. Can you imagine, you know, if the Lord asks you to give 90% to him and you only hold it 10, he only asks you for 10. So what's the problem? You know, the more you give, the more God's going to give you. Praise the Lord. Now, let me recap these principles real quickly. You know, and I want to stress on one or two things as we go along. The reason for this is this. I see that some people are struggling, whereas they should be, you know, in abundance. Well, why are you struggling? You know, don't be struggling. Follow the word of God. These are the principles that are going to get you blessed. Praise the Lord. You know, I can look back in my life and I thank God for it. You know, I have never struggled about these kind of things. You know, finances is the one thing that the people of God should not struggle about. You know, because the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. Amen. And God said, the heaven is mine, the earth is mine, and all these things have my heart made, my hands made. What are you going to give to him? You know, you're not giving him anything. He's just looking for your obedience. Praise the Lord. You know, but if you do these things, if you honor thy father and thy mother. Now, what honor thy father and mother doesn't just mean, you know, you say, you are my father and my mother. You know, and some people like to honor their father and not their mother. You know, when they maybe their dad is around, they behave, you young children. You know, maybe mom's around, they don't care. You know, but his dad's not there. Honor your father and mother, both of them together. You know, you be well with you and you live long on the earth. And all these promises, you know, that of all these commandments that we gave today, you know, set your desire on the things of God, not on the things of the world. Colossians 3 will tell you that as well. Set your affection on things above. Keep God's word in your heart. Meditate upon it all the time. Psalms 1 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor, you know, standeth in the way of sinners, nor walketh, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, and so on, you know. And he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be what? He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, I want to talk a little bit about his season. I want to talk about in season and out of season just a little bit. You know, now, when you're working hard, and you should be working hard. I already told you, you have to work hard. If you work hard, God's going to promote you. See, as that a man diligent in his business. But there's something even beyond that. You see, you know, God will bless you in season. But there's also out of season blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, not many people know that, but by the grace of God, I have experienced it all my life. And I'm trying to pass on the same to you. Time will fail me to go into all of it today. But there is in-season blessing. That's when, you know, you in-season is you walk. After 2 weeks, they give you a paycheck. Because you walked. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Amen? If you walk, they pay you. That's in-season. But out-of-season blessing means forget all that. You know, whether you are getting a paycheck from every week or not every week or whatever, you know, if you follow these commandments, you will always have abundance. Amen? Now, don't try to figure out how is it going to be. Well, it's like somebody saying, if God would open the windows of heaven, shall this thing be? Yes, it will be. But if you don't believe that it will be, well, you may not eat of it, even when it is. You know, that's exactly what happened to that man that didn't believe. You know, so God will bless you not only in season, but out of season. But do you know there is really no out of season with the Lord? Have you ever thought of that? Hello, somebody. Is there any out of season with God? There is no out of season. That's why when Jesus came to the fig tree that looked like it had leaves and looked like it should have fruit, and it didn't have fruit, and the Bible said, well, in Mark 11, it said, you know, it was not yet the time of figs, but Jesus didn't care about whether it's time of figs or not. He wanted fruit. Praise the Lord. And he got there, and there was no fruit. But the thing looked like it had fruit. It was pretentious. It has leaves. It had these things and so forth. And it was doing other things other than bringing forth fruit, you know. And the one thing that Jesus was looking for at that time, he didn't have it. So he said, well, you're done. Nobody's going to eat of you again. That's it. You know, so there is no such thing as season with God. That's why even preachers are told, be instant, in season, and out of season. There's never anything like that. You know, that means at any time of day, you are ready. Be always ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Amen. There's no season to be a believer and a season not to be a believer. Praise the Lord. Now, let me just read the rest of this quickly. Be diligent in your business and God is going to promote you. Handle other people's money with diligence as though it is yours. and God is going to give you yours. Don't be tight-fisted, but give cheerfully, and you will always have abundance. When God gives you abundance, remember, when a time of plenty, God is wanting you to save the excess for difficult times ahead, rather than spending it wastefully. Remember, it is the Lord, our God, that teaches you to profit, gives you the power to get wealth. One day, I'm going to preach on the hidden riches of secret places. I'll preach on that one day, and you will never be the same. But not today. Now, do not set your affection on riches, and honor the Lord with your substance and first fruits, not after everything else, and the Lord is going to bless you. And I have a short testimony to give you on this one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many years ago, when I first moved to this country with my family, I was struggling a bit, you know, just from adjusting to, you know, being in a new place and so on. And I remember I did have a job right away, but, you know, I was struggling. And I thought, well, you know, I can't even pay my bills. How am I going to give a tithe or this and that, you know? And I struggled like that for a couple of years. And then one day, the Lord began to teach me some of these things that I'm telling you here today. And one of the first things I did then, you know, that night was I took a pair of scissors to my credit cards, cut them up. Amen. I cut them up. So when I did, well, that was the first thing. Because, you know, I don't have to be in debt, you know. Praise the Lord. The Bible says I'll be a lender, not a borrower. Cut up those credit cards. And then I made a covenant with the Lord. I said, Lord, all that money that I owed you, I'm going to pay it. Well, I'm not preaching that anybody should do that. I'm just giving you a testimony. Don't quote and say he said this. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just talking about myself. This is my testimony. And nobody can take it from me. This is me. I made a covenant that I was going to repay all those tithes that I had held back when I thought I didn't have enough. And it was difficult. And then, you know, well, I said, well, Lord, you know, and so forth. You know, the Lord said, well, you know, if you do it, I will help you. And I said, no, Lord, you help me and I will be able to do it. And the Lord said, if you do it, I will help you. See? And I said, oh, well, you know, how am I going to do that? And then I did. And I tell you, since that day until now, praise the Lord, I have never lacked anything. In fact, I remember about 2.5 years when I went back to do my master's program at ASU, I stopped working. I stopped doing consulting. And so I just went and, you know, for the studies and so forth. And during those 2.5 years, some of you might remember this many years ago, I had all my bills, including my mortgage, which was more than a couple $1,000 a month. I had everything on auto payment. I've always done auto payment all my life until this day, because I don't like writing checks. Auto payment when no money was coming in. Praise the Lord. Until this day, not one time did it ever fail. I never had my light cut off, never had, you know, water or electricity or cable or any of these issues, you know, because I straightened it up with the Lord and I started to follow these principles. You know, and I follow those principles, you know. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a rich man or anything, you know, but I don't lack. Amen. And if you follow these principles, you will never lack. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. I want you to stand to your feet. If you follow these principles will work for you. You will never lack. You will never lack. Praise the Lord. God will always make sure that you have more than enough. But you have to follow these principles. And you can't take one of them and say, well, I like this one, I don't like the other one. You know, if you break one, you've broken them all. You have to follow all of them. And for those of you who are struggling financially or in business or whatever, I am going to pray for you today. I don't want you to come out. You know, but I want you to take the challenge. I'm going to pray for you. Take the challenge and say, and let God speak to you. And you clean up your ways, whatever you need to clean up, that's your business. If you've missed the road somewhere, Don't keep going on the wrong road and think that you are magically going to get to where you're supposed to go. That's foolishness. You won't get there. Make a U-turn and go and start doing the right thing. Start taking the right turn, you know. So, let's pray. I'm going to pray with you here this morning. I want everybody to lift up your hands and let's pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to give you the grace. The grace to obey His word. The Bible says that if you be obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. If you be obedient, that you have to obey all these things and do what this thing says. No get-rich-quick program here, but you stay with the program and you will always be doing better. Year after year, you will look back and you find that you are a lot better than you were last year. Because that's a season. There's a season to it. Praise the Lord. Father, look at all your people that have their hands raised. Raise up your hands here this morning. And I ask, O Lord, that you give us grace. Help everybody to take these words and understand them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, you know, he that hears my words and does them, I will liken them to a man that built his house on the rock. You know, let your house be built upon the rock in the name of Jesus. Don't build your hand on this. Don't build your house on the sand. That's somebody who hears the word of God but does nothing with it. If you hear instructions, you know, the preacher said, hear, O ye children, the instructions of the Lord from my mouth. That's what I've given you here today. You heard these instructions today. You follow them. You don't need to pray that God will bless you. Just pray for grace to do these things. And it is automatic. The blessings of God will be automatic in your life. Amen. Father, multiply your grace upon your people. Let the children know how to honor their parents. Let the people know how to put the things of God first in their lives. Help us, Lord, not to set our affection on riches that may soon fly away. Help us, Lord, to be diligent in our business. Help us to open our hands and not be tight-fisted, to give. You know, the Bible says, you know, cast your bread upon many waters, you know, and so forth. And in due time, it will come back to you. If you give, it will come back to you. Lord, we pray that you teach us these things. Help us, Lord, to be able to give abundantly to the Lord. The Bible says unto us, as we have read here today, honor the Lord with thy first fruits of all thy increase and so forth. And Lord, we thank you above all. You are the one that teaches our hands and everything craft to prosper in our hands. Give us the instruction. Give us the knowledge and understanding to do these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. If you believe that word of God can bless your life, if you believe that following the word of God can lead to good success, then let's hear you say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The praise team may come forward. The reason that the word of God leads to good success is because inside the word of God, there are all these nuggets of how you can prosper. There's even nuggets of how you do business and so on. But I don't have time to go into all of that today, maybe some other time. But if you follow the word of God, it will always bring you good success. The Lord bless you all.